Good morning. Let's open our Bibles to Luke 17, verses 11 through 19. Luke 17, verses 11 through 19. While he was on the way to Jerusalem, he was passing between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered the village, 10 leprous men who stood at a distance met him. And they raised their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." As they were going, they were cleansed. Now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at his feet, giving thanks to him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed, but the 9, where are they? Was no one found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Stand up and go. Your faith has made you well." Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you, Lord, that we can come before you and just spend this time with you this morning. Lord, we thank you that we can carve out a period of our day just to give glory to you, God, to spend time to hear and just encounter you. Lord, we just ask that your spirit will just guide this time, direct this time, Lord, and that you will just be, your presence will just be made known here. In your name we pray. Amen. This morning, I kind of wanted to talk about Thanksgiving because, well, it's still Thanksgiving technically in the States. And so I was thinking about different scriptures. We're going to look at 3 different scriptures, or 4, about giving thanks to God. But I really wanted to start with this one. And it's funny because I think this is the one we do every year for Noah's Ark for Thanksgiving, because it's the most clear picture of giving thanks to Jesus, where it's an action. It's not just like give thanks to the Lord. It's a story about giving thanks or the lack thereof. But just a few things to point out about this one is to remember that in Jewish custom, if you were ill, if you were sick, if you had skin disease, or like even women when they're on their menstruation cycle, they actually had to leave the city, right? They had to be removed for cleanliness. And actually, a lot of people, for being sick, it actually really does make sense because medicine wasn't like it is today. Removing you from the village, from the cities, would help protect people from getting sick. Right, and we still actually today have leper colonies. Right, there used to be one in Hawaii, not that many years ago. I don't remember exactly how long ago it was still there, but I mean, within the last 100-150 years, we still had this, even in like places that were more developed. And so you still have this idea. So these men were removed from culture, removed from their people. And whether it's leprosy as we know it or another skin disease, which is possible, they wouldn't have been touched by anybody, right? Because if you were unclean, you wouldn't be touched. In order to be declared healed, you'd have to see the priest. And it was a priest that would give you the okay that you were allowed to come back into society. And right, so what's happening here is you have Jesus who's traveling between Samaria and Galilee. And then he comes and encounters these 10 men. And then he says, go to the high priest, or go to the priest, right? So he's actually following the law, right? They actually hadn't been cleaned yet. So as they were making their way to the priest, they realize and they look down that they're healed, right? So that's kind of an interesting point too, that these 10 men, it says on their way, they were cleansed. So on their way in their life, they were cleansed as they were going to get confirmation. You know, I think sometimes, because I used to be part of the river and the well, but the well up here where it's the healing ministry, and sometimes you pray for people and you get frustrated because you don't instantly see them being healed, right? Because we just want them healed, we want them healed, but there's also a journey of healing, right? And so these 10 men are going on a journey, and as they're on this journey, they come into healing. And sometimes God's healing isn't when we think it is. Another thing to point out is that most likely, we can't definitively say, because the scripture doesn't definitively say this, that the 9 men were Jewish, right? Because Jesus makes a very clear point of saying this foreigner, right? This foreigner, and he says he's a Samaritan later. And so here you have the one person coming back and giving praise was someone the Jews hated. The divide, the anger, the racism between these two groups were so prevalent. Both believing that they were the rightful group, right? Both, actually, when I was in Israel, shocked that there were still Samaritans today. I don't know why I just believe this group of people disappeared, but there's still a small group of Samaritans left. And our tour guide, who was Jewish by ethnicity, I don't know if she's really that much of a practicing Jew, but she was saying how actually the Samaritans today believe that they are actually the true followers. Like they're the true remnant of a God, not the Jews. They think they're the ones that are the mixed blood. So it's very interesting how they have two different perspectives. But either way, they're separate and they hate each other. And yet it is the hated one, the one that the Jews thought were low, they were not part of the group, is the one that recognizes Jesus and recognizes to come back and give thanks. Right? And so those are just a few things of this passage to pass out. But there's a few points I want to just kind of reflect on from this one is that do we personally, like the nine Jewish men who are, or the nine potential Jewish men, forget to give thanks to God because either we have forgotten God's goodness, it's not new or fresh to us, it has stopped amazing us, right? Let's put it in this perspective. We are the Jews in this sense. We sitting here, the ones who have believed in God for however many years, I'm looking out and I'm pretty sure most of us in this room are not new converts, right? We have pastors, we have leaders of our church, right? We have been very familiar with God for a long time. Have we stopped living in awe of Him? Have these stories of someone becoming healed become so frequent? I mean, not that frequent, but enough that we either question it because we're like, did that really happen? Or because we hear about it, it doesn't shock us anymore. Now, there's something good about that. There's something good that God's miracles don't shock us because it means we do believe in it. We are like accustomed. We believe that God does these things. But have we lost the awe and wonder of the miracle? Have we, and I'm not talking to say big miracles, you know, little things in our day to day, have we lost the awe of a certain person just walking in our life at a specific time, right? And that God may have orchestrated it. Have we forgotten to carve out time to give thanks to God? You know, I was thinking about God's goodness in our life and how so quickly when we're praying about something to happen, like we're praying, we're frustrated, we're going through this whole process, and the moment we get that job or the moment we get married or the moment XYZ, we then forget to give thanks. We forget to continually come to God, right? Like I know for me, in some of my darkest times of life, that's actually when I am closer to God. But when things are going well, when things seem to be good, that's when it's like, well, I'm doing fine, right? I'd forget the need of God. And it's almost as if God has become the person I go to only in those deep needed times instead of building a continual relationship. You know, and I mean, to be honest, I'm quite guilty about this with people too. So, I mean, I'm just kind of a general, unless to face to face, I'm not a great communicator. So like I have an agreement with one of my college roommates, one of my really good friends from home, that we're okay with each other not talking unless we're sitting in a restaurant with each other. That way we're on good terms. It's like, it's fine that we don't email. I didn't even know she was pregnant and had her fourth child until my mom told me, like, okay, maybe something's a little wrong. You know, like something should be worked on. Well, she did try to get me on Instagram so that I could follow her family. So, I mean, she definitely threw out a rope and was like, I just don't want to be on Instagram. I'm sorry. You know, like it's just, I am on it. I don't follow anyone and I've never posted anything. I have like 9 followers and I don't know why they want to follow me because there's nothing to follow because I don't post, right? But there's something about that continual building of a connection, you know? Like making that point to daily getting connected with God. And if you're like me, it may be harder because in general, unless you're face to face, it's not something you even naturally do with people, right? I have friends that are very good at it, so I'm very connected with them, but they're the ones that initiate, right? And I know God is the one that initiates, right? But it's harder because we don't tangibly see him. There's two other verses I want us to look at are Psalms 104 and Psalms 106, verse 1. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. Praise the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. You know, this morning, as I was looking back on the few notes that I took last night on the scripture, I was reminded of my nephew's first communion. So my step-nephew. So my stepbrother and his wife are Catholic. And I just happened to be in California last time I was there. And he was doing his first communion. So I went to it. And it was very interesting to watch the experience. But you would think, I don't know what I was thinking. I just thought there'd be things that would be more natural, like the songs were all different. I grew up in a very liturgical church, so standing up and down was very familiar to me throughout the whole service. The call and response was very familiar. But one of the things I kept noticing is every time they approached the altar, and I don't know if this is a common theme, right? But I don't know if it's just for First Communion. I don't know if it's because obviously I haven't been regularly to a Catholic church. But they bowed. So I'm sitting there watching and kind of just taking it all in and just observing. And every time they approached the front of the sanctuary, every single person bowed. You know, and as they entered the sanctuary at the back, they stopped and they paused and they did the symbol of the cross. Now, I'm not saying that we need to start bowing and doing the symbols of the cross. But there was something about as they entered the sanctuary, they recognized the need to change, right? They recognized that they're stepping. Now, God, we are God's sanctuary, so we should at all times be that light, the way we live our life, right? We are his temple. But when they came into the body of believers, that the church, to worship him, they took a moment to pause. And so as I was reading this scripture, now, as I said, I'm not saying let's start doing all these things, but to me it was very interesting to watch because often I notice when we come to church here, it's just let me rush in. Let me chat with my friends next to me. And now not everyone. There are some people that when I walk in, every time I walk in, I see them praying and getting their heart ready for God. But there's something about when we come to church, are we rejoicing? Or are we just coming? Is it part of our Sunday? Are we remembering why we're coming? Are we giving praise to God? Are we in the right mindset, right? Or are we rushing through and just going through the motions? And I'm not saying they aren't going through the motions as well, okay? I don't want to get to that point. But are we actually giving thanks as we come into his courts? Are we praising God as we are coming into this place? And you know, like it's, because I work with the kids, they're not. They rush in, right? I mean, if they're on time, great. But when they're coming in during worship, they're not ready to be in encounter God. They're not ready to be in that space. In fact, they come in and they distract other people. They come in and they themselves are embarrassed because they're not there on time. And are we kind of like that when we come into our own time of worship? I actually hope adults are a little embarrassed when they walk in late, to be quite frank. Kids, it's usually not their fault, so I don't want them to be embarrassed. But, you know, there should be. You know, at my home church, people would sit in the back when they, like the first people, and so we called it the walk of shame. You'd have to sit in like the first few rows if you were late, right? And everyone would kind of look at you. So you didn't want to be late to have to sit in the front. But are we giving thanks to God? Are we praising him as we come into his courts? Not just here, But when we come into his presence in prayer, when we come into his presence, when we are walking along the street and we see something God has done, is our first reaction to praise God, or is our first reaction, well, one, to forget who made it all happen, or to praise ourselves? And are we remembering to continually give thanks to God? And the one last area that I want us to touch on is actually giving thanks for people. Giving thanks for people. If you notice, I'm not going to read any scripture, but I mean, you can turn to any of Paul's letters for the most part. And always starts with, I give thanks for you. Even if he's about to rebuke those people, to teach those people something about God or to correct them, maybe they've been deceived and he's trying to remind them, he always gives thanks for people. The people that he's ministering to, the people that he's encountering, or he is being asked questions about. And I think, especially if you are in the ministry at any level, I'm not talking about just being on staff at a church, if you're a house church leader, or if you are in leading any sort of ministry, or even if you're serving and you're not maybe lesser the leader, but you've been serving for a long time, I know personally I'm quite guilty that we tend to focus on the negative of people, what's wrong with them, right? Instead of starting with giving thanks, right? Giving thanks to God for these people. Because we got to remember, it's God who put them in our lives. So once again, it's even though I'm talking about giving thanks about people, it's actually we're giving God thanks for bringing them in our lives. And I think when we start with that mentality, we actually see people in the way God sees them. When we start by giving thanks for the people in our lives, even if we call them our growth people, like people who are helping us grow because they drive us that crazy. Have you ever heard of that term? Where God gives you somebody just so that you can grow and they cause you a lot of, you know, a thorn in the flesh. It's okay. Apparently not everyone here knows what I'm talking about, but those people that really drive you crazy, right? And if instead of starting with what about them drives you crazy, you give God thanks for them, when you see them and when you encounter them and you work with them, there's going to be a better perspective on that person. I feel like God will show us more of who he is. And when we go back to the story of the lepers, you know, it's only after the Samaritan comes back and has given thanks to God that Jesus says, it's your faith that has healed you. It is your faith that has healed you. Now, what is Jesus talking about? Well, on the surface, it could very much so just be the physical. But I actually personally, and it's not in the text, but I personally believe there was something about him giving praise to God that actually brought healing to him on a deeper level. A healing, something inside him. You see this same thing that happens over and over with God, Jesus healing, right? It's not just the physical. He's never just concerned about the physical. When you look at the man who was lame and his four friends lowered him through the roof, right? You see that Jesus forgives his sins. There's always this inner part of what God is working on. And so I think as we're giving thanks and as we're giving praise to God, God releases something. God makes us more whole. God, it's not just about elevating God, but God knows as we come and praise him, we get right with God. When we genuinely are not just doing the motions, but we're genuinely in awe and wonder and come to the place of worshiping God, there's a healing that can take place because we're entering into a spiritual realm, I believe. And so as I ask Samuel to come up to lead us in worship today, I just want you to really think about, have you lost the awe of God in your life? Have you become so accustomed, and this isn't like a critique, but ask God to build that awe again. It could very well be that it's not a negative thing about you losing the awe and wonder because you've just experienced so much that it's so natural that you've almost forgotten about it. But it's not like you've forgotten God in the process. But have you lost the awe and wonder of God? And as you remember and reflect on that, I want you to start just giving thanks to God. Thanks to God for what he's done, the people he's brought into your life, your job, whatever it is. But just go into a time of giving thanks to him.
How can I keep from seeing? your praise. How can I ever say now how amazing is your love? How can I keep from shouting your name? No, I am loved by the King, and it makes my heart want to sing.
So God, we just thank you, Lord, for all that you've done, Lord. And if we have forgotten how good you are in our life, Lord, we just ask that you will show us, Lord, that you will awaken our hearts, God, that your spirit will move in us, Lord, that our eyes will be in awe again of your wonder, Lord God, that we can enter your courts with praise, Lord, that in the things that you are doing in our lives, Lord, that we give thanks to you, God, Lord, that we remember you, Lord, and that we truly see you, God, and that we just celebrate you and what you're doing, Lord, and that we can keep our eyes fully fixed on you. And so, God, as we go today, Lord, and as we continue our praying, Lord, that we remember that you are the one who's at work, Lord. And so, God, we just lift up the rest of our prayers to you today. And so let's turn to our community focus. Let's pray for those in our community who are suffering from cancer, are going through chemo and radiation therapy, or recovering from surgery related to cancer. Let's pray for those who are sick but also need to still meet Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Let's just pray for God's healing hand, both physically and spiritually, in their lives. Let's pray for those who are sick with other various infirmities. Let's just pray for God's healing hand. Let's pray for those who are looking for jobs. Our list has gotten shorter, so we praise God for that. But let's continue to pray for Edwin and Bella, for God just to open doors for them at the right time. Pray for our mission focus. Let's pray for Japan with P. Sophia. Let's pray for Cambodia, Grace, and Oasis House with P. Jenny O. Let's just really pray for God's spirit to rest on these women, that God will just lead and guide them in their different adventures and things that God is doing through them in these different places, and that people just know God's love. Let's pray for our mission council. Let's just pray for just such unity. Let's just pray for God to just really work through these group of men and women, just really that we can become a church known for missions and that we can really seek and know God's will. Let's pray for our local outreach teams, Agape, Homie, SP Lights, Freedom Bridge, and Recreation. Let's just really pray that we can be a light in this city. Let's just pray for their leaders, that they will just be encouraged, and just that, that we can just really see God's hand in all these ministries. Pray for SP Fam, our foster and adoption ministry led by Cadence. Let's just pray that we can just really be a church that believes in taking care of the orphans. We have another baby coming in, so let's just continually pray as God brings more babies into this house that we can really just care and love on these babies, even if we're not the direct family who's taking care of them. Let's pray for our Friday evening gatherings, IP, SPU, SP Youth, and EG. Let's just pray for a good time together. Let's just pray for the Holy Spirit just reveal himself, and just that our kids and our college kids and everyone else will just really encounter God tonight. Lastly, let's lift up our house churches meeting tonight, Elements, McCain, McDaddy, and McRobinson. I'm assuming many of them are celebrating Thanksgiving tonight, but just either way that they can just really have a good time together. Just pray that they can give thanks for one another and that they can enjoy each other's company, and those who are discussing Sunday sermon, that they can really just dive deep into God's word. God, we just thank you for today. We thank you for all that you do, Lord. We praise your name, God. We just ask that you just continue to open our eyes to the work that you're doing around us, God. Open our hearts to be in awe of you, Lord, as we do our daily life. God, Lord, may we see you in the small as well as the big things that are going around. And God, I just pray, Lord, that the way we see people will be the way you see them, Lord, and we give thanks for them. God, I just ask that you bless each person here, Lord, that you will just give them a wonderful day, Lord, that they can just really just be with you, and just, Lord, that their work will be really just enjoyed. So, Lord, we just thank you. In your name we pray. Amen. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time and have a great weekend.